ceaseth. For the faithful fail from among the children of men. Hold your place there and look now at Proverbs chapter 20. And here I want us to read verse number 6. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. We know this is the day that you have made. Lord, help us to rejoice and be glad in it. Help us to be grateful for all of your blessings. And Lord, we thank you most of all today for our salvation through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your word, for its truth, its infallibility. We thank you for your presence in our lives through the Holy Spirit and the promise that you'll never leave us or forsake us. And we thank you for all the good things that you've done for us in the past and rejoice in our hearts for what you'll do in the future. And Lord, I pray that you would help me now as I try to preach. I ask that you please give me liberty, clarity of thought and speech that I can convey to these people what you want us all to understand. And Lord, I ask that you help us to have ears to hear and hearts to receive it. God, please prevent distraction. Help our minds to be focused and alert and us to be able to pay attention to your word. And Lord, when we leave here, I pray more than anything that you would help us to be doers of your word and not hearers only. And I ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, next Sunday is Father's Day. And since on Mother's Day I preached a message to the ladies of our congregation, and since I will not be here next Sunday, I thought today would be a wonderful opportunity to address the men of our congregation. So this morning I'm going to preach a message directed mainly toward us men, titled What We Need. What We Need. And in order to kind of lay a foundation for the main part of the message, I want us to look once again at the two verses we just read. Two verses in two different but consecutive books written by a father and his son, which teach basically the same truth. First of all, look with me here at Psalm chapter 12 and verse number 1, and notice David, King David, says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." The main part of that verse I want you to notice is where he says, "The faithful fail from among the children of men." Basically, what he's saying is we are running out of faithful people. He's saying there is a decline, a decrease in the number of faithful people in the world. And it stands to reason that if that's how it was and still is, if there is a decrease in faithful people, then there is automatically an increase in unfaithful people. And please remember, this was written millennia. I'm talking about thousands, not days, weeks, or months, but thousands of years ago. As a matter of fact, this was written thousands of years before the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth to die for our sins. So if that's how it was all the way back there thousands of years ago, and being that things haven't got any better as time has progressed, can you imagine how few genuinely faithful people there are in our world today? I'm talking about faithful from God's perspective, not from my perspective or your perspective. But we sometimes get things misconstrued, and our manner of looking at things and the way we judge people is not exactly how it is. I'm talking about from God's perspective. From His perspective, there are no doubt very few genuinely faithful people in our world today. And if you study this psalm here very carefully, which we're not going to do in the message today, but if you study this psalm very carefully, you see that men's unfaithfulness is demonstrated in three ways. First of all, you see in verses 2 through 4 that it's demonstrated in their words, the words that they say. Then in verse number 5, it's demonstrated in their works. And finally, in verse number 8, it's demonstrated in their walk. And in verses 6 and 7 of this psalm, man's unfaithfulness is set in contrast to the absolute 100% faithfulness of the words of Almighty God. But the main truth I want you to see here is back in verse number 1, the truth that we are running out of faithful people. Now I want you to look over at Proverbs chapter 20. And look at verse number 6 once again. These are the words of Solomon. Solomon was David's son. Notice he says here in verse number 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. I say amen to that. Most men. He doesn't say all, thank God, but he does say most. So the majority, right? Most is the majority. So the majority of men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. That means the majority of men will brag on themselves. They will be their biggest fan. They will be very quick to speak highly and favorably of themselves just to let you know how good they are. That's how most men are, according to the Bible. But he goes on to say, look at it, but a faithful man who can find. You know what that teaches? That teaches that faithful men are a rarity. They are a scarcity. They're hard to find. That's what this verse teaches about faithful men. And that really matches what David said earlier on about us running out of faithful men. And this is the main reason, this truth here is the main reason why I titled the message, What We Need. Because if I understand the Bible correctly, one thing we need desperately, desperately, like never before in the history of this world, is some genuine faithful men. More specifically, we need faithful Christian men. That's what we need. Christian men who are accountable, who are dependable, who are trustworthy. Years ago, I saw a sign that I have never forgotten. I'm sure I've told you about it in the past. But I saw this sign years ago, and it said, the best ability is dependability. The best ability is dependability. I agree with that statement. You know, it really doesn't matter how able you are if people can't count on you. If you can't be counted on to work, to show up on time, to do what you're supposed to do, if you are not dependable, then all of your ability, no matter how great it may be, is absolutely useless. You can be the greatest mechanic, the greatest doctor, the greatest lawyer, the greatest preacher, the greatest singer. You can be the greatest whatever this world has ever known. But if you are not faithful, your ability is absolutely worthless. The best ability. It's dependability. And in the remainder of my time here this morning, I want to remind us Christian men. Do I have any Christian men here today? Some men that are saved. You know the Lord Jesus. You know you're on your way to heaven. Well, I want to remind us Christian men of some specific areas where faithfulness is absolutely imperative. Some areas where our faithfulness is absolutely imperative. And I want to start with this. And these are not really in any particular order. They're just the way I decided to jot them down as the Lord gave them to me. First of all, I want to say this. We need to be faithful when it comes to our church. We need to be faithful when it comes to our church. Our church, as Christian men, needs to be a major priority in our lives. I don't mean a minor priority or a non-existent priority. I mean it needs to be a major priority in our lives. I mean, it needs to be way up there, very close to the top of our list of priorities while living on this earth. That's the way it needs to be for us Christian men. And we need to demonstrate our faithfulness to our church, number one, by going to our church. By going to our church. If we are physically able and are not detained beyond our control, when it gets church time, we need to go to church. Amen? And I realize there's situations where somebody can't be at church. I understand that, and hopefully y'all know me well enough to know by now that I'm not dealing with people that can't be here. I'm talking about folk who can be here. I'm talking about those people who are more than physically able, and they really don't have any kind of legitimate excuse to not be here. Those are the kind of people I'm talking about. And what we need as Christian men is to be faithful to go to church. Our church doesn't need to be an afterthought, and it doesn't need to take a back seat to other activities and pleasures of life. Our church needs to be a priority, and when it gets church time, we need to be in church. That's where we need to be. I can remember just listening to people talk, people much older than myself, about how valuable church was to them years ago and what a priority church was and how people would literally walk for miles to go to church. That still goes on, by the way, in other countries outside of the United States. You go to some of these third world countries, places where they don't have automobiles and fine things like we have, there are people still hungry for the Word of God that will literally walk for miles and miles and miles just to sit on a dirt floor in a room that barely has walls with no air conditioner whatsoever, simply to hear the Word of God. And then, right here in the good old United States of America, we got fancy vehicles that cost more than some homes nowadays. We got good roads to ride on. Most of them are good anyway in our area here. And people that don't live a half a mile from a decent church, and they simply will not be faithful. Shame on us men if we don't go faithfully to our church. Amen. Shame on us. We need to demonstrate our faithfulness by going to our church. Also, let me say, we need to demonstrate our faithfulness to our church by giving to our church. I'm a Baptist preacher, so you knew I was going to get to that, didn't you? Sooner or later. But listen, I'm not just talking about giving money. I'm talking about us giving our time, us being willing to get involved and willing to help out, kind of made light a little bit of Miss Page doing some stuff, but I tell you what I've seen down through the years in churches. I have found in every church that I've ever been a part of and or even pastored through the years, there's always just a core group of people that do 99.9% of all the work that gets done around a church. Amen. That's the way that is. And that's not how it ought to be. That's not how it ought to be. It shouldn't be all unloaded on just a handful of people. There ought to be people throughout the congregation that are willing to step up and invest their time and their energy in the things that need to be done around the house of God. And I think those of us who are men ought to take the lead in that. Those of us who are men ought to step up first and foremost and give of our time. We ought to give of our talents. And yes, we ought to give of our tithe. We ought to give our tithe to the Lord. Amen? Don't make me get my sign out now. I'll throw that sign on you in a minute. Give of your tithe. That tithe doesn't belong to you anyway, does it? Does it? So if you keep back your tithe, you know what you are? Can I tell you the truth this morning? If you're a man in here and you don't tithe, even if you're a woman in here and you don't tithe, you're a thief is what you are. Because the Bible says the tithe is the Lord's. Amen. Am I telling you the truth? Amen. I'm not making this stuff up. It's actually in the Word of God. This is straight out of the Bible. So if you withhold your tithe, you are a thief. You are a God robber. And no man in this congregation right here should be willing to steal from God. Amen. Give faithfully. Last of all, let me say this before I move on. We need to demonstrate our faithfulness to our church by guarding our church. I'm talking about trying to protect our church from any person, any practice, any preaching or any precept that would open us up to the world, the flesh, or the devil. We ought always to be on guard for wolves and sheep's clothing and folk and practices that would take our church in a direction that would dishonor God. And listen to me, folks. I want to say this real quick before I move on to the next point. What I'm talking about is not just for our benefit as men within this congregation. Now, this that I'm talking about is for our benefit, but it's not just for our benefit. What I'm talking about is for the benefit of the younger generation that is coming up in our church. The little kids and young people within this church that are watching us, that are looking at our lives. I want to share this with you. I can remember back to when I was a little kid growing up in Mobley Creek Baptist Church. It's been many years ago, but I can remember growing up in that church. And I'm going to tell you one thing that I remember that just stands out in my mind that I've never forgotten from all of my young years growing up in that church is the absence of faithful men that has stayed with me all through the years. Do you know there were lots of times, I mean seriously, there were a lot of times that church would have folded up and the doors would have been shut had it not been for faithful women. Now, folks, that's an indictment upon us men. That's an indictment upon us. But I can remember that. I can remember times I'd come on Sunday night. Of course, I always went because I loved to go and wanted to go, right? I had a drug problem when I was little. My mama drugged me to church. It never was really an option in our home. You know what I mean? Mama didn't say, do you want to go to church? She'd say, get ready, we're going to church. That's just the way it was. What's wrong with that, by the way? I mean, don't you make your children take a bath? Don't you make them brush their teeth? I hope to God you do. Don't you make them practice hygiene? Don't you make them do their homework and go to school? Well, why would you not make them go to church? I don't understand that, but my mother made me, and I can remember so many times going, especially on a Sunday night and a Wednesday night, there wouldn't be a man in the place. Not a man. What is wrong with that picture? That's just not how it ought to be. And that has stuck with me through the years. And you know what? There are kids in this building right here today that 5, 10, 15 years, 20 years down the road from right now, they're going to remember how us older men have conducted ourselves as Christians. Amen? They're going to remember that. What do you want them to remember about you? That you was one of those men that just showed up when you didn't have nothing better to do? Or you was one of those men that was there, if at all possible, every time the doors was open? That you were faithfully engaged and active in your local church, doing what you could as a man to help and better that church? That's the way it needs to be. We need to be faithful in the area of our church. I got about 25 points. I need to move on. That was a joke, all right. Number two, we need to be faithful when it comes to our commission. Not just our church, but our commission. In the Bible, we have been commissioned. We have been commanded, in fact, to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's not something that's up for discussion. It's not a matter of opinion. It's stated very clearly in the Word of God. And as men, as Christian men, we need to lead the way and set the example in fulfilling the great commission of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to lead, set the example in talking to people about our Savior, in being faithful witnesses for the Lord. Number three, I do have to hasten on because I got about 5 minutes left. Church commission. Let me say thirdly, us men, us Christian men, need to be faithful when it comes to our commitments. Our commitments. In Romans chapter 1, Paul talks about some people he calls covenant breakers. You know what a covenant breaker is? A covenant breaker is someone that doesn't honor their commitment. That's what a covenant breaker is. They enter into a covenant or a commitment with someone. They make a promise. They say, this is what I'm going to do. And then for whatever reason, they break that covenant. They do not honor their commitment. And this is something that seems to be very prevalent in our world today. People that will not honor their commitments. As Christian men, we need to be a good example of people that keep our commitments. Honor those. We need to be people who honor our word. Amen? I mean, if you're going to tell somebody you're going to do something, what should you do? You ought to do what you say you're going to do, right? And I realize there are situations where something comes up and you're just simply not able to do what you said you were going to do. You know what you do then? When you realize that something has happened, it's out of your control, you can't do anything about it, and you're not going to be able to honor your word, you know what you do in this modern day of technology? Just pick up the telephone. You don't even have to pick it up. It's already in your hand anyway, isn't it? You're already looking at Facebook and tweeting and all that other stuff right now. Some of you looking at it while I'm preaching on Sunday. That's no joke. I've stood in this pulpit right here and watched people fiddling with a phone and showing it to one another and looking at stuff while I was preaching. Folks, that's disrespectful. That's what that is. Very disrespectful. But if you can't honor your word, just pick up the phone and say, look, brother, I know I promised you I was going to be somewhere, I was going to do something, but this has happened, it's out of my control, please forgive me, but I cannot make it. That's how you be a man of your word. We need to get back to the place where our word is our bond. It was that way at one time, wasn't it? Where a man could shake hands with you and give you his word, make a promise to you, and you knew that unless that man got sick or died or something beyond his control happened, he was going to honor his commitment to you. That's the way it ought to be with a Christian man. Amen. We need to honor our commitments when it comes to paying our bills. Amen. You're going to borrow money, pay that money back. Right? I mean, really, if you're going to, and I understand people fall on hard times and things happen. I get that. But I also know there's a lot of sorry people that live in our world today, too, who when they borrow it, have no intentions of ever paying it back. And they're going to waste their money on other stuff and be frivolous with it, and they're not going to honor their commitment to pay their bill, and that is just not right. That is a terrible way to be. The Bible says that as saved people, we are to provide things honest in the sight of all men. And part of that is you honoring your commitment to pay a bill. Here's one. How about the commitment you make to your spouse? How about staying faithful to your spouse? Staying with that woman that you made a commitment to. How about that? Because let me tell you something. When you stand in a church or a courthouse or wherever it is you choose to get married, and you say, till death do us part, God's taking note of that, by the way. And that is a commitment that you are making, and you ought to honor that commitment and be as faithful as you possibly can and never break that covenant unless it absolutely has to be broken. You ought to stay faithful. And this is not just you staying faithful in that you don't leave your spouse. It's staying faithful in that you don't cheat on your spouse. More and more, it's just unreal. I hear all the time of these people that are unfaithful. It goes on so much. Unfortunately, it goes on even in churches now. Honor your commitment. Number four, I really got to move on. Us men need to be faithful when it comes to our children. Our children. Children are a blessing from God, amen? Now, sometimes they'll drive you slap crazy. But they are a blessing from God. Amen. That's one of them that sometimes you have to take by faith. Can't go by feeling on that one all the time. Take it by faith. Children are a blessing from God. In the Bible, we've been told to train up our children in the way they should go. In the New Testament, Paul specifically talks to fathers. To fathers. And he says that fathers are to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's on us, fathers, to do that. God puts that responsibility on us to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The Bible teaches we are to be faithful to discipline our children when they need it. Here's one I think is really important. As a parent, we need to be faithful to admit when we're wrong. Any of you fathers in here ever made a mistake? I make them like daily. like every day. And I think it's important that our children hear us say we were wrong. Because when we are so proud and arrogant that we won't admit that we're wrong and admit to our children that we did something the wrong way, when we won't do that, what we're doing is instilling in them a sense of pride, and they're going to grow up never being able to apologize to people for the wrong they do. They need to learn early on how to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Let me move on and say, number five, us Christian men need to be faithful when it comes to our country. When it comes to our country, we need to love our country. I am a patriotic person. And something that I have noticed, and y'all may not have noticed this because y'all might not be as in touch with preachers and so forth like I am, but something I'm noticing now that seems to be increasing amongst preachers is a lack of patriotism. In a sense that if a preacher speaks well of his country or stands up for his country, that he's somehow against the Bible and that sort of thing. Well, by now, y'all pretty well know I don't really care how people think about me, right? When it comes to the truth, I don't, you know, you think what you will about me, and I'll think what I will about you, okay? But I do not think it is against the Word of God to love your country. I think there needs to be a sense of patriotism in every heart. And I love the United States, but now here's the thing about love. To love, you don't always have to agree, right? I love my son. I don't always agree with him. I love my wife. I don't always agree with her. She loves me. She certainly don't always agree with me. Know what I mean? Love doesn't mean you have to agree. We should never agree with sin. We should never agree with something that is clearly an abomination in the sight of God. But we still should love our country. We ought to be patriotic. We ought to want the best for our country. We ought to be faithful as men to pray for our country. How often do you pray for our country? People today are addicted to Fox News. They sit around and watch it like it's a drug or something. Here's a question I have. Do you pray for your country as much as you watch that stuff on TV? As much as you bellyache and whine and complain about how bad it is in the United States? How much are you praying for our country? When was the last time you got on your knees and begged God to help the leaders of our land? And listen, you may not have voted for Donald Trump. You may not like the man, but here's reality. Reality is the man is our president now. How often do you pray for him? How often do you pray for him? Instead of bellyaching and whining about him all the time, get on your knees and beg God to do something in the man's heart. Beg God to help him lead our country in the way it would please God. Listen, it's not about him or any other leader doing what you think this country needs. It's about people taking our country in the direction that God wants it to go. You understand that? Pray. For the leaders, pray for revival to break out in this land. Don't we need it? I tell you something, you better start praying for. You better start praying for mercy. The mercy of Almighty God is what you better be praying for. I tell you something I pray for, I hope you do as well. I pray that our country will stay with Israel. I pray that we will. And I know, according to the Bible, eventually one day America will go against Israel, but I want us to stay with them as long as we can. You understand? People disconnect that, and they act like how we are toward Israel doesn't matter. Let me tell you something. The very second, I'm talking about the very second that our country walks away from that country is the day we invite the curse of God on us as a people. That's what the Bible says. Be faithful to pray for your country. Be faithful to do what you can to put in office those who are the best for our country. Here's another. I'm just about done. As men, we need to be faithful to our convictions. Faithful to our convictions. I'm talking about biblical convictions. I hope you have some, by the way. I hope that you have a conviction about the Bible itself. I hope you believe as a man that the Bible is the Word of God. I hope you believe that. I hope you believe every word in it, that you think we have the Bible just like God intended for us to have it, that there's no way to improve upon it. It is absolutely perfect, infallible, inerrant in every way. I hope that's your biblical conviction. That's where I stand. And I hope that's where you stand. And I hope that we have convictions about what the Bible says. You know, if the Bible says it, that ought to settle it. Amen. Whether I like it or not, whether I agree with it or not, if the Bible says it, that's just the way it ought to be. And we should never compromise. Listen to me. Never compromise for any person or for any reason. Do you know the only time your convictions ought to change? Is if you realize you have a conviction that is not right. As long as it's biblical, I don't care who you are around, and I don't care what the situation is, you should be faithful to your convictions. And again, speaking about this younger generation, you know what they need to see? They need to see some real Christian men is what they need to see. I don't know where this idea came from that when you got saved, you got to turn into some person that walks around like a homosexual or something. You know, some limp-wristed fairy tale person, you know, that has no backbone, no spine, no conviction about things. God doesn't intend for a man to be like that. Paul said to the saints in Corinth, quit you like men. That means stand up and act like a man, for goodness sake. And this younger generation, my son, other young people, they need to see some real Christian men that's got some backbone about them, that'll stand for their biblical convictions. Last of all, the point y'all all been waiting for. We need to be faithful when it comes to consecration. The Bible says we are to consecrate ourselves unto the Lord. That means that there needs to be a sacredness about our lives, that we need to be clean, holy, and godly in the way we live. That's what God expects from us Christian men. There needs to be in our lives holiness, cleanliness. And I'm not talking about hygiene either. The Bible says we are to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Those of us that are saved men, you know what we need to do? We need to examine ourselves. That's what the Bible says. Examine yourselves. Put the microscope on you. Check yourself out with the Bible. Look into the mirror of God's Word. And if there's anything dirty in your life, anything filthy, anything that goes clearly against the Word of God, ask God to help you get that out. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the privilege, the opportunity to be here in church. Lord, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the freedom still in this land to go to church, to be able to read and study the Bible. Lord, I ask you this morning to help those of us that are men, those of us that are Christian men. Please, Lord, help us to be faithful. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.